of lovemaking. It's a hard and hurried screw. We could get caught. We could be arrested. We could be seen. Urgency fills the air. One second, I'm deep in her. The next, I pull back. Then I thrust into her again, and her moans and her groans tell me she likes this rhythm. She likes the race. She likes the thrill. And as she lifts her hips to draw me back into her, she just likes the way we fit. God, so do I. I wish I could break this down into the details, say it's the way I punch my hips or how she grinds her sweet little pussy against my cock. But nope. It's out of this world good because I want her so badly, and now I have her. And it's better than I dreamed it would be. Feels so good, I say. Feels amazing. You're so fucking wet. You're so fucking hard. I laugh lightly as I thrust. Guess we got the basics down. She laughs too, and impossibly that turns me on more. How easy the talking still is. How messing around hasn't changed a thing between us. We're still the same people. Think you can come again? I don't want to be presumptuous. Maybe she's a one and done. God, I hope so, she says in a broken pant. Think you can get me there? I love a good challenge. I know so, I answer, then slide my thumb between us, rubbing her sweet clit as I stroke in and out. Oh, God, she gasps. She drops her hands to my waist and slides her fingers up my back under my T-shirt. Yes, 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 she says in my ear, urging me on. I fuck and I rub and I focus on her. She is the center of my world. A bead of sweat falls down my forehead. She raises her face, brushes her lips over my eyebrow, and kisses it off. That gesture sends an electric charge through me. She moans, and I'm so worked up that I know I'll be coming soon, and it will be epic. A jolt of pleasure rockets down my spine, then ripples across all my bones. Need to get you there. I moan, rubbing her clit, feeling her slickness on my thumb, and all the fuck over my cock. So close, Wyatt. I'm so close. Keep doing that. Please, she begs, her voice hoarse, as if she's been screaming at a rock concert or on a roller coaster. And I realize that's what we are tonight. We fuck like a rock song. We screw like a wild ride that twists and turns. We are edge-of-the-seat lovers. I jab into her with fast and powerful thrusts. Like that, she moans, as my thumb rubs furious circles on her clit, and my cock gets to know the inside of her even better, reaching her G-spot. She drags her nails down my back. Holy shit, she's digging in, she's scratching me. I can barely control how much I want to let go. But she goes first, and she just detonates. She explodes with a bang, writhing and wriggling and falling apart with a loud, Oh God, oh God, oh God! She drops her face onto my shoulder, muffling her moans. But I can hear her, her sexy murmurs, her relentless cries of pleasure, and her groans of my name again and again, like the chorus to that rock song. It's just an Oh God. Over and over and over, but it's more than enough for me to blast off too. My balls tighten, my neck goes tense, and I groan. I'm louder than I want to be, but I can't control the rumble that falls from my lips. Gonna come, I warn, and those words turn into grunts and curses as I drive deep one last time, coming hard inside her on a pinball machine somewhere in the storage room at an arcade in a Vegas hotel. I pant and breathe out hard. She loops her arms around my neck. The after effects of epic pleasure hum in my bones. Damn, this is a fucking awesome night, and it's only just begun. You're a loud one, she says, smiling at me. I shrug. Loud is good. She nods. It is. She sighs contentedly and plays with the ends of my hair. We're good together, she says softly, and her words take root deep inside me. They feel right. They feel true. Yeah, We are, I whisper. And there's more where that came from tonight. Well, I certainly hope so, she says. Then her lips curve up. What's next on the agenda of Wyatt and Natalie's excellent adventure in Vegas? I stroke my chin, thinking. Then it comes to me. I've got just the thing to show you. Chapter 11. We top off on the way out of the hotel. A double round of shots for both of us keeps the night shimmering in a fine coat of a it-just-gets-better-and-better buzz. Though, it's not just the smooth taste of Casa Noble going down that makes me feel so damn good. It's Natalie's hand in my back pocket as we leave New York, New York. It's the way she squeezes my ass as we walk along the strip. It's how she runs her other hand through my hair while we chat. She can't stop touching me, and it's fantastic. You're quite the frisky mittens, I tell her as we stop at a crowded crosswalk, waiting in the throngs of tourists taking in the city of sin. Running her fingers across the front of my T-shirt, she says, And I get the impression you like me so hands-on. Guilty as charged. I cover her fingers with mine and drag them down my abs as far as the top of my jeans. By the time we reach the fountains at the Bellagio, I've surpassed all ordinary levels of turned on to the point that I'm mildly grateful we have something to do besides touch. If she keeps up at this rate, I'm not sure how I won't be arrested for public fornication in a few minutes. Public decency is so overrated. I gesture grandly to the lake. I believe this was on your Vegas sights to see list. She parks her palms on the railing, bouncing on her toes as she waits for the aqua extravaganza to begin. I've wanted to see the water show here ever since I read a book that has a scene where the hero gets the heroine off in front of the railing. Well, that's not helping my situation south of the border. Is that your way of telling me something, Frisky Mittens? She laughs louder than usual and holds up two fingers. I've got two in the bag already. I'll take my third a little later. She seems lost in thought for a moment. Come to think of it, this writer has a bunch of books with scenes set here. Maybe she has a thing for the Bellagio fountains, I say, as the lights splash across the placid surface and the lake begins its nighttime ballet. Natalie gazes at the show as sprays of water dance up in the air. She sighs happily and stares at the scene before her with the contentment that only liquor can add to a night. I can see why she likes it. She turns to me, and her tone is flirty and curious. What do you really like? Like enough to write about in a few books? Sure. Burgers, beer, spicy food, but you knew all that, I say, as I pinch her ass, just because I can. She wiggles an eyebrow, and I continue. I like sports and watching the Yankees. I like walking dogs for the rescue, helping them find homes. I enjoy random facts about the world, and I like to cook as often as I can. A huge grin splashes across her face, and she shoves her hand on my chest. You cook? I jerk my head back. Why do you sound so shocked? I'm a man of many talents. I'll have you know I can work wonders with a grill and a skillet. Just surprised. I'm so used to you with your hammer and drill and that sexy as sin tool belt you wear, she says, roaming her eyes up and down my body, drinking me in a way that intoxicates me more. Now I'm picturing you cooking some delicious, spicy stir-fry in your kitchen, and since it's my fantasy, I've decided you're shirtless with a spatula. In my fantasy, you're wearing red panties, heels, and nothing else when I serve you this spicy stir-fry. She shifts closer, her voice all sexy husky as she says, I bet it's yummy. Just like you, I say, wrapping my hand around her hip bone and yanking her close to me. We turn back to the water and gaze at the fountain choreography. What about you, Frisky Mittens? What do you like so much you'd write about in a bunch of books? Besides Ed Sheeran songs? I shudder. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. She knows I can't stand the guy, but I can appreciate what he's done for scores of men by providing musical lubricant in the form of his songs. She hums a few notes from his most popular tune, then answers me. I like being daring. I like exploring new places and exploring places I already know. I like being a goofball sometimes and being serious at others. I also love getting pedicures and having my toenails painted in alternating colors. And I like finally being able to live in Manhattan because it makes me feel like anything is possible if I just keep trying. That's a perfect way to describe New York. And Vegas, she adds, meeting my eyes once more. Turns out I like Las Vegas. She places her palm on my chest, softer this time, less frisky mittens, and more sweet Natalie. A lot, she adds. I like it a lot. An electric current swoops through me, sending warmth and desire all over my body. Me too. I dip my mouth to hers, brushing her lips with mine. Her soft breath ghosts over me as I pull back from the gentle kiss. I'm really having a great time with you. For the briefest of moments, I can see us having more conversations like this. I'm picturing spicy food competitions, exploring new corners of Manhattan, checking out all the roller coasters in the tri-state area, and ticking off how many rides we can get busy on. Not because we'd be trying to amass notches and bedposts, but because it'd be fun. Natalie and I have that in common, the relentless pursuit of fun. We both like making the most of every second. But that's not in the cards on account of that little detail of me employing her. A flickering awareness of what might happen on Monday morning when we're back at work flashes in my brain, but then it disappears just as quickly as it arrived. Because this night exists in its own bubble, and I'm having too much fun to think about anything more than the here and now. In front of us, the aquatic show has glided into its finale, the sprays soaring high in the sky. Hey, let's take a selfie right now, she says, then whips out her phone, swinging it wildly into shooting position. I crowd in close and wrap an arm around her. We smile for the camera, framed in the background by one of the prettiest sights in all of Vegas. Now let's get you to the Venetian and grab the next gondola. I smack her ass. She wiggles her eyebrow. I like that. You are so fucking interesting, little Bo Peep. Just wait till you see my crook. As we head to the Venetian, she posts the image of us together on her Facebook page. A crew of women out on the town walks in our direction. One of them sips on a towering drink that looks like an oversized beaker from a chemistry class. Natalie stares at it longingly after she puts her phone away. Ever had one of those in Vegas? I say to her. She elbows my ribs. You know I haven't. Then we need to deflower you in the towering, delicious-looking cocktail that you down on the street department. As the group nears us, I call out, Hey there! Just wondering where we can grab one of those fantastic concoctions. The woman points to a street cart on the next block where we order one, and it turns out this beaker is full of the good shit. Natalie taps the pink plastic container shaped like a bong. This is like a fast track to a super buzz. Yeah, it pretty much goes straight to the brain, probably the judgment center. I joke, then hum a line from the Sheeran number she sang earlier. Definitely the judgment center. As we walk along the canal shops, my arm draped over her shoulders, we tell dirty jokes, sing snippets of favorite songs, and laugh so hard I'm not sure we can stop. Hey, want to hear something funny? Duh, of course I do. When I was in middle school, there was a rumor going around that if you laughed for 24 hours straight, you'd get a six-pack. Like, it was a one-time thing. If you could pull this off for a full day, you'd be set for life, all carved and shit, I say, gesturing to my belly. She cracks up, then slides her fingers over the fabric of my shirt. Did you do a laugh-a-thon to get these? No, but we tried it at home, I admit, sheepishly. She clutches her belly, cracking up. Oh my God, you're ridiculous. We decided to watch the funniest shows on TV, and Nick and I found these cartoons he was totally into. Some Japanese animated thing that was fucking hilarious. We managed about 15 minutes of non-stop laughing. Then I pull her close. But I've laughed a lot tonight, so maybe I'm finally getting a 12-pack. She shakes her head. Not gonna happen. I pout. Why not? Because soon you're going to stop laughing. Are you going to tell me something sad? Another shake. Nope, but I'm pretty sure you won't be laughing when we're naked later. You'll be moaning and groaning and making those sexy sounds you make when you lose control for me. And the temperature in me shoots through the roof. I do groan as I tug her close. Just like that, she says in a sexy purr. I cup the back of her head and kiss her like crazy. We both sound like we can't get enough of each other. When we manage to untangle, I guide her to the gondola ride. We settle on the seat as a man in a striped shirt and a red beret pushes a giant pole-like oar through the water. I wrap my arm around Natalie, and out of nowhere, I start humming that same tune again. And it hits me. I would never sing this sober. I would never sing it buzzed. Which means, I'm not buzzed. I'm borderline drunk. And the world is my oyster. Evidently, it's everyone's oyster tonight, because there's clapping and cheering from the other gondolas. I swing my eyes around to the boat in front of us. A dude in pressed pants and a white button-down shirt has dropped to one knee, and a brunette has her arms around his neck and is crying happy tears as she gazes at a new ring on her finger. I watch as the afterglow of a proposal unfolds around us. Everyone else is cheering for them, too. Onlookers from the banks of the canals offer their hoots and hollers, and so does Natalie. She cups her hands around her mouth. Woo-hoo! She nudges me, and that's my cue to chime in, too. So I pump a fist and shout, "Congrats! Go marry her tonight!" The guy laughs and shoots me a thumbs up. His bride-to-be waves at us. Someone walking along the shops seconds my idea. Go to a little white wedding chapel. In their gondola, the button-down guy and his lady lock eyes and seem to be weighing the idea, whispering to each other. A few seconds later, he holds his arms out wide. We're getting married tonight! The cheers erupt, this time like your favorite slugger just knocked in a bottom of the 9th game-winning home run. Natalie's shouts are the loudest, and she grabs my arm as she calls out boisterously. They're going to the chapel, and they're going to get married. She slinks her arm around my waist. Because you convinced them to tie the knot tonight. When in Vegas, I say, and my voice trails off as our eyes meet. Those three words echo. Her eyes sparkle, and it's like we're thinking the same damn thing. I like being daring. Exactly how daring do you like to be? I ask. One corner of her lips curves up. Exactly as daring as I can be. Why do you ask? Because of our deal for tonight, to do it all. One night only. I tip my forehead to the couple, and I swear I've never had a better idea in the history of ideas than the one I have right now. It's fucking genius. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Her mouth drops open, then she nods, her eyes wild with excitement. I'm pretty sure I might be. Want to tell me what you're thinking? I raise an eyebrow. I'm thinking there's one more thing that would make this the full Vegas experience. She clasps one hand to her mouth, then lets go. Oh my God, are we really going to do what they're doing? I don't see that we have a choice, given the deal we made back at the New York bar. Go big or go home. For a moment, there's nothing but silence. I don't have to wait long for an answer, though. Go big, Wyatt, she says, her voice soft, but her intention loud. Clearly, she thinks my idea is brilliant, too. How could she not? Dropping down to one knee, I grab her hand. Frisky Mittens, want to go to a 24-hour chapel and tie the knot? She hiccups, then laughs and tugs me in for a sloppy kiss that tastes like tequila and fruit mixer. When in Vegas... Chapter 12. One sideburn slides off the man's face. It's mildly distracting, but nowhere near as disturbing as the efficient's gold leisure suit. The one piece has a collar that could double his wings and is the very definition of skin tight. It hugs every inch of his body, and yeah, I do mean inch. Sorry, not sorry. He's wearing a fucking unitard. Hard not to notice shit. Is he Leisure Suit Larry or Elvis? I hiss to Natalie. When the venue has a name like Larry, Lana, and the King's full-service quickie weddings, he could be either. She nods at the guy, who's got a full perm going on, taking kinky curls to new heights, and whispers to me, "Or Richard Simmons got a new gig?" Only it's not a true whisper. It's a drunk whisper. So she's not quiet in the least, but I doubt the exercise fanatic double cares, since I'm pretty sure he's stoned. Looks that way as he fumbles around for the wedding bands while we stand at the front of the tiny chapel. That's part of the full service. Two gold bands for $57. What a steal. He reeks of pot, and judging from the Bob Marley tune playing as our wedding music this second, I'm guessing he was toking up before the limo dropped us off a few minutes ago, right after we grabbed a marriage license before those offices closed at midnight. The swanky black stretch number waits for us in the lot. I sprung for the best on my wedding night. That's just the kind of swell fellow I am. Fishing around in the breast pocket of his suit, the dude grabs the rings and holds them up. Got him. One slips from his fingers. Oopsie daisy. That sends Natalie into peals of laughter, and she grabs my arms, clutching me as she holds on. I chuckle too, because everything is funny tonight. And everything is awesome, like my life is bobbing on a raft in an infinity pool under the warm sun, drinking a piña colada without a care in the world. Natalie runs her hands up and down my arms, and I wiggle my eyebrows. We can't stop flirting, touching, giggling. The dude bends to fetch the ring when I hear the telltale signs of stitches coming undone. I'm not sure what part of the leisure suit has popped open, but I decide to keep my eyes fixed firmly on the bride-to-be, just in case Larry Elvis Efficient is a commando-style guy. "That's the real oopsie-daisy," Natalie says, and now I'm the one to crack up, grasping her trim little waist in my hands. Nothing quite like laughing like a hyena at your own nuptials. "All set now," the guy says, and then he cups his hand to the side of his mouth and shouts, "Hey, Lana, can we get some grand finale music?" A woman in a white Elvis suit, her breasts spilling out from the mostly unzipped zipper, pops in and gives a big thumbs up. "Oh, look at the happy couple," she coos, then points overhead. Maybe to the sound system at the chapel, which now pipes in the opening bars of a song I recognize as soon as I hear the first line about what wise men say. A strange thing happens to my chest again when I turn back to Natalie in my arms. It's like my heart is being squeezed. I blink, trying to center myself, but it's hard when she's staring at me as Leisure Suit Larry clears his throat and the King croons in this most romantic song about fools rushing in. I kind of feel like I'm floating. Must be all the liquor playing tricks on me, making me smile like an idiot, as Natalie looks at me, her eyes big and full. The officiant hands me her band, and Natalie and I move apart briefly as he runs through the familiar vows. We exchange rings, and as I stare at my newly adorned finger, something unnamed bubbles up inside me. I step closer to Natalie once more, clasp her hands in mine, and words tumble out in a rush. I'm telling her how gorgeous she is, and how much I've loved working with her, and how ridiculously fun this night is. And then I'm saying all sorts of things about what the future holds and doesn't hold, and I can barely keep track of everything I'm saying. I'm just serving up all that feels true, past, present, and future. She nods vigorously the whole time, and I love this about her. She fucking gets me. Then, that unnamed thing in me shifts, and now it tightens, ratcheting into worry. Before I know it, I tell her the most important thing I've ever told her, and I find myself making her promise to hold me to it. "Just promise me, Nat. Promise me, promise me, promise me," I say with a harsh swallow, and then I wait. but not for long. I promise, Wyatt. I promise, I promise. And I get it. I do. I really do. The momentary tension inside me vanishes in an instant, and my world is all hazy, sexy, intoxicating goodness once more. I put my hands on her face and then kiss my wife for the first time, a searing, deep, passionate kiss that's a reminder of how utterly fucking amazing this night has been. She sways slightly as I kiss her, and I wobble, then find my footing, and we separate at last, grinning like fools rushing in. The officiant clears his throat. There is no more dwelling at the Heartbreak Hotel for Natalie and Wyatt, and now these two are stuck on each other. By the powers vested in me by the great state of Nevada, and by the king himself, I now pronounce Natalie and Wyatt husband and wife. But remember, there is no return to sender, so it's time for you all to get shook up. You're married. He thrusts his gold satin-covered arms in the air and hoots. I would tell you to kiss the bride, son, but you already did, and I bet you've done a hell of a lot more. So be on your way and do some more of that. A few minutes later, we slide into the limo. I pop open the champagne and toast to my bride as we drive around town after midnight, getting horizontal again. Soon, we stop at the Flamingo for roulette. When we win a round, a tipsy dude at our table who says he works for a rapper invites us to a party in the penthouse suite. You guys are cool. You gotta come check out Secretariat's bash, he says, running his big palm over his shaved head. We cash out and go, because why the fuck not? Especially since the rapper named himself for a Triple Crown winner. On the top floor of the hotel, the party rages. Music pulses so loudly it thrums in my bones, as scantily clad women grind against scantily clad men, and another group of partygoers ride hobby horses as they chug their drinks. Natalie and I take it all in, then check out the view of the strip and enjoy the free-flowing champagne. Natalie cups her hand around my ear. Need to find the little girl's room. That sounds like a fine idea to me, too, and when we've both answered nature's call, she peers down the hallway at the end of the suite and points. Holy shit. There's a fucking Titanic slot machine in the penthouse, I say, heading straight for it, parked next to a standard Las Vegas slot machine with fruit on the screen. Wanna play? It takes bills, she says. We slide some dollars into its mouth and proceed to lose all our roulette winnings. But it hardly feels like losing when Natalie parks herself on my lap and wraps her arms around me as Jack, Rose, and a heart of the ocean spin into view. Feels a lot like winning when her lips crush mine and her hands slide down my chest. All sense of propriety slinks around the corner as I check to make sure the coast is clear. Pull her behind the slot machine and make good use of another one of those condoms she so thoughtfully packed for our trip. She must have brought a box. As I hike up her leg around my hip and drive deeper, I whisper in her ear, "You're so fucking daring. And you're so fucking interesting," she says on a moan. As she grows louder, nearing the edge, I cover her mouth, since someone's now in the hallway with us, yanking the other one-armed bandit. Whoever it is nails three cherries right as Natalie lands her third climax of the evening. Guess we're all getting lucky tonight. We say goodbye to Secretariat and the bald-headed dude, thanking them profusely for their hospitality, as well as the wonderfully convenient height of the slot machines. Good thing they were so damn tall and provided just enough cover. Once we leave, we cruise down the strip and take a selfie at the famous Vegas sign. Natalie posts that on Facebook, too. And we dance dirty at the Edge nightclub at a newer hotel. Sometime after 4:30, we make it back to her room. Or maybe it's mine. I honestly don't know. The night is a blur. A streak of laughter and sex and wild, crazy fun. All I know for certain when we stumble into the suite with the king-sized bed is that this night is far from over. Not when she looks at me with sultry eyes while her busy fingers make quick work of her shirt and skirt. My hands cover hers, stopping her. I'll take it from here. It's time for me to fuck my wife. It will be the first time I see her naked, and I'm like a kid on Christmas morning. There's nothing I want more than the gift of Mrs. Hammer's nudity. Chapter 13. Generally speaking, all sex is good sex. It's a guy thing. Honestly, it's just anatomically difficult for us to have bad sex. Enough friction, along with a little something wet on the equipment, and chances are good we'll achieve the big bang. That's the nice thing about being a dude. But some sex is better than others, and at the pinnacle is hotel sex. The dark of the night, the size of the bed, the escape from reality. Hotel rooms are designed for great sex. Nothing could be truer for Natalie and me right now, here on the last stop of our great escape. Neon from the Las Vegas night casts a faint light, illuminating her face, silhouetting her body. She's perched on the edge of the bed. A part of me wants to undress her slowly, to savor every slide of silk and lace along her smooth, soft skin. But a stronger part of me knows now's not the time for lazy, unhurried, we have all night foreplay. The red lights on the hotel radio remind me that it's not long before the sun comes up, so I tuck all the images of slow kisses along her calves and lingering caresses across her belly out of my mind. Besides, her tits are pretty much calling my name. The low-cut cups of her black lacy bra expose succulent, kissable, biteable, pale flesh. In mere seconds, they'll be free, and I'm not sure I'll be able to take my hands off them. I think I'm in love with them already. Can't believe I haven't gotten acquainted with these beauties yet tonight, I say, as I unhook her bra with a quick snap. But no time like the present to rectify that. As I throw her bra behind me, the lace falls somewhere, but I don't notice or care because her tits are now liberated, and I was right. It's fucking love at first sight. My hands dart out to cup her breasts, and yep, it's love at first touch, too, because, damn, they feel spectacular. Evidently, it feels good to her, too, since she gasps as I squeeze and knead. I rub my calloused fingers over her nipples and pinch. Her hands shoot out to my hair. She threads her fingers through the strands and grips me tight, saying my name like a long, low moan. "That turns me on so much," she murmurs. Holy hell, Natalie has insanely sensitive nipples, and I adore her tits. Who would have predicted a more perfect union? Maybe my hands should marry her breasts. "You won't mind if I just verify precisely how turned on you are?" I tease. "Please feel free to conduct a proper and thorough test, Inspector Hammer," she says with a grin. I laugh as I run a hand down her belly. Then, as I slide my palm between her thighs, I stop laughing. Even I can't make a joke about this kind of wetness because it's just too fucking fantastic. She's soaked through her panties. Beautifully soaked. I crowd against her, my big body pushing hers down to the bed. She crawls back and props herself on her elbows. I climb over her, my clothes still on. I lower my head to her chest, draw a nipple into my mouth, and suck hard. She bucks up against me as I lick and suck and kiss her nipples. This is the true jackpot, learning my woman likes having her nipples played with. She moans and groans and grabs my head again. She's got me in a headlock, and trust me, this girl knows how to execute that move, but there's no way I'm letting go of this beautiful breast in my mouth. Nothing to worry about there. You'd have to pry me off from this taste of heaven. She widens her legs and rocks up into me as I draw her nipple deeper, flicking my tongue against it, then biting down. She lets out a little shout. "That drives me crazy," she moans, never letting go of me, and I wonder momentarily if she could actually come from this kind of play. Seems like a far-fetched fantasy, but I'd be willing to go the distance and find out. As I devour her breast, my hand squeezes the other tit, kneading, pinching, and pulling until Natalie thrashes under me. Jesus Christ, this woman is more than interesting in bed. She's electric. She's wild. She's so damn sensual and in touch with her body. It's addictive, the way she wants what I want. She pushes my head away and stares at me. Her eyes are crazed, hungry, as she jams her hands between us, hunting for my jeans and fumbling for the zipper. Now, Wyatt, I need you now. I need you inside me. There are just certain words that cause instantaneous action in a man. No matter what else you're doing, when a woman says, I need you inside me, you stop, drop, and answer the call. In seconds, Natalie shed her panties and I'm naked too, rubbing the head of my dick against the slick paradise of her pussy. She grabs my ass. Her hands on me make my head spin. Fuck, I want her so much. Tonight won't be enough to quench this desire. I start to push into her when I realize my dick is bareback. Shit, I curse, hanging my head low. What is it? Condom. Need to get one. But her hands grip me harder. I'm on the pill. Are you safe? I nod. Clean as a whistle. Same here. She lifts her face and brings her lips to my ear. I think my husband can fuck me without a condom. And that does it. Something about the way those words fall from her mouth in such an inviting purr makes it impossible for me to resist. I sink into her, and it's staggering. She's hot and tight, and the wetness is infinitely more wonderful because I feel it with no barriers. Skin against skin. Hardness against heat. Her and me. She raises her knees and hooks her ankles against my lower back, and I pump. I shove in and out of her, watching her face, studying her reaction, loving the way she breathes out hard and groans. She's so noisy, and her sounds are a drug. I love that she can't hold back, that she's a moaner, and an oh godder, and a yes, just like that-er. Makes my job so much easier to know what the lady likes. And by all accounts, the lady likes it when I fuck her, when I drive in deep, when I stroke back, nearly pulling out of her, and when I drop my face to the candy land of her tits again, sucking on each nipple till she moans. When I let go, I move my mouth to her neck, nipping her. My reward is her lifting her hips faster and wilder as her noises go into overdrive. I take her with deep, fast thrusts. Love this. Love your hot, wet pussy, I rasp out. Fucking love fucking you. Love it too, she says in a broken pant. Sweat slicks our chests, and the room fills with the sounds of us. Flesh slapping, feral grunts, guttural cries, and the bed smacking the wall. This is hotel sex. This is the furious race along the fast track to a fiery release. She wriggles and writhes, then she drags her nails down my back. Leave marks, I tell her, like a command. I'm going to, she says, digging in deeper and scratching my flesh in a way that sends heat spiraling in every corner of my body. I like it rough. I like the evidence of rough sex, too. She lifts her head and kisses me, a hard and hungry kiss, full of teeth and need. We claw at each other's mouths as I pound into her, and she urges me on with thrusts that meet mine and nails that dig into my ass. When our lips lose contact, her blue eyes lock on mine, and they're so honest, so full of desire. And they disarm me. They strip me of all my defenses. They threaten to undo all the reasons I know we can't make this last beyond tonight. They make my heart beat harder, and I slow down. I ease the pace. I take a break from the relentlessness of our lovemaking. So does she, as her hands quit scratching. Instead, they travel along my back, up to my neck and into my hair, making me shudder. The noises between us fade to just breathing, just husky moans. My hand reaches for her hip, and I hike her leg up higher as I slow fuck her. I lower to my elbows, and I stare into her eyes. She trembles. Her whole body shudders. Oh, God, Wyatt, she whispers. She's not loud and crazy. She's just raw and real now, and I feel the same way. Naked, totally fucking naked, and not just because I'm in my birthday suit, but because it hits me hard. No matter what tomorrow brings, tonight I'm fucking my wife. I bring my mouth to her ear and murmur, I love fucking my wife. God, I love fucking my wife so much. It's the truth. Nothing but the truth. And she cries out. She shatters, shaking under me, as a barely comprehensible series of, oh God, and I'm coming so fucking hard, fall from her lips. I love that she can't control her mouth, that words of pleasure spill forth as she falls apart beneath me. Like a Category 5 orgasm has swept through her body, unleashing wave after crashing wave of ecstasy. Her release flips the switch in me. My quads tighten, my balls squeeze, and pleasure surges like a storm in my body, spreading everywhere, my own groans now loud enough to wake the neighbors. Fuck, Natalie, I moan as I come inside her. Jesus fucking Christ. Every word punctuates the intensity that lights me up as my body jerks and I can't stop moaning or groaning or swearing. Fucking hell, I say on a long pant as I collapse on her. Her arms loop around me. You're so loud, she says. Do you have any idea how hot it is when you come like that? I laugh lightly. Glad you enjoy what you do to me. Nothing is sexier than knowing I made you moan. Except you. You're sexier, I say, and then I raise my face to brush my lips lightly against hers when something occurs to me. Yes, all sex is good, but not all sex is created equally. I'm not just talking about hotel sex, because I've just learned that sex with Natalie is in a class of its own. It's beyond hotel sex. It's more than the bee's knees. It's better than the cat's meow. It's heart-stoppingly magnificent. And I'm not the kind of guy who uses that word, but sex with her is indeed magnificent. I'm sweating and panting and totally spent, and I'm pretty sure you can wring alcohol from my pores, but this has been a night for the ages. I tug her close, brush her hair from her cheek, and tell her, nobody in the history of Vegas has done this city as well as we have. She smiles. And nobody ever will. And I'm sure when I look back on this night, I'm going to savor every single delicious detail. Chapter 14. Natalie. Remember The Hangover? That morning after scene? Charlotte. Is this your way of telling me you're missing a tooth? Because I'm not okay with that. You have very nice white straight teeth. Natalie. Ha. The fangs are fine. My head still hurts, but my throat got intimately acquainted with some aspirin and a coffee chaser already, so I'm surviving the after effects. Now, try again. Charlotte. Oh, wait. Bradley Cooper is shirtless in your suite? Natalie. Nope, but a girl can dream. Charlotte. Zach Galifianakis is... pantsless? Natalie. One more guess. Charlotte. There's a tiger in your tub? Natalie. I'm taking away your movie card. Moving on. Insert epic eye roll. Did you use all, some, or none of the six-pack of raincoats you brought along? Did you get drunk with your boss? Kiss your boss? Sleep with your boss? Spend the night with your boss? We used nearly all, which means yes to all of the above, and there's something I've got to tell you. Exclamation points. Tell me everything now. Start with the good stuff. How was the deed? It was amazing. Look, everything was amazing. Well, one thing wasn't, but I'll get to that. What? Does he have bad breath? Ugly toes? Does he fart in his sleep? No, no, no. Then what would be bad? First, the good stuff. The kissing, the talking, the laughing. We get along so well. He cracks me up. He cares about me. He's good to me. And he kisses me like, well, like I've always wanted to be kissed. Swoon. Like the world will end and nothing else matters but the kiss? Yes. And the sex? Oh, dear God, the sex. Beyond anything I could imagine. And you have a good imagination. I do, I do, I do. It was just all so good. But there's something I have to tell you. You didn't come? No, I didn't stop coming. I lost track. I had 20 orgasms. Maybe 6. But it felt like 20. Or 200. So what's the problem? Well, besides the little issue of him being your boss and you being his employee, and I therefore being a very bad sister for encouraging you to pursue the man you're totally hot for, since everyone knows boss-employee relationships are a massive no-no and always end up in heartbreak. But if anyone breaks your heart, I will kick him in the balls 20 times because I love you like crazy. Bottom line, am I kicking him in the balls? I might have married him last night. Hello, don't you remember Ed Helms waking up married? Hello, are you there? Bueller. Oh shit. Tell me you are kidding. Tell me that's one of your patented Natalie is pulling my leg jokes. Don't yell at me, it makes my head hurt. I will damn well yell at you for something like this, and why didn't you tell me sooner? I was trying to, but then we got to the sex questions. Anyway, relax. I panicked a little when I woke up, but after the caffeine and aspirin helped me recover some of my lost brain cells, I already have a plan to fix this. I can't believe you married him. I know you're hot for him, but are you fucking insane? We were just really drunk. Well, unmarry him, like now. I will, obviously. How did it happen? The officiant said, I now pronounce you hound dog and wife, or something like that. Not the actual ceremony. I know how vows go down. I meant everything leading up to it. We were on the gondola. Someone else proposed. We decided to do it too. It seemed like a brilliant, fun, amazing idea at the time, like all ideas do when you've had a half dozen drinks. So we got married. Then we had more sex, in the limo, behind a slot machine, but before then it was on a pinball machine, and kinda on a roller coaster too. Fine, you get a medal for outstanding achievement in public sex. And I get that it was the best sex of your life, but you can't let it fry your brain, hun. I mean, date him maybe, Nat, but don't marry him. Don't worry, we won't be married much longer, and we won't be dating either. Why? Forget everything I said above about it being a bad idea. You said he's good to you. Why not date? Shoot, he's waking up. I'll tell you when I get back to New York. Dying here waiting. Chapter 15. The big orb in the sky blares angrily through the window, shooting bright bolts of light that assault my eyes. I squeeze my lids, rubbing them, trying to will away the relentless sunshine attack. But my head. When did my head start doing an impression of a cannonball? Wait, no, it feels more like a construction zone, and an army of small, angry men are jackhammering inside my skull. I groan and fling an arm over my eyes. A small voice speaks softly. Hey, time to get up. I wince, not from the voice, but from reality. Reality sucks. My mouth is sawdust. My veins slog with mud. My head weighs 50 tons. Hangovers are fun, said no one ever. Sleeping Beauty, the voice whispers, accompanied by a gentle shake on my shoulder. I scoot up in bed, drag a hand through my messy hair, then cover my mouth as I yawn and... What the fuck is this thing on my left hand? I sit bolt upright, cannonball brain be damned. I lift my hand as if it's been sewn on by extraterrestrials in my sleep, because there's a motherfucking gold band on my finger. Yep, aliens, UFOs, Martians. That's the only reasonable explanation. Little green men visited me last night and shoved a wedding ring on my finger. I turn my head slightly and see a blonde in my bed. She must be the owner of the soft voice. Or maybe she's an angel. Looks like one. The sun shines brightly, and I squint, but I can see she's smiling, a little wistfully. Damn, she's pretty. And her eyes are the warmest shade of blue I've ever seen. I cover my mouth because my breath must be dumpster levels now, and infecting a lovely like her with morning breath is a crime. I blink. Holy shit. That's my assistant in my bed, dressed in a gray tank top and jeans with her wet hair twisted in a bun on top of her head. And I'm dressed like I'm about to go skinny dipping. I scratch my head. Maybe I called her last night, begged her to come rescue me from whatever shenanigans I'd gotten myself into with whoever is wearing the other half of this pair of rings. Man, I've no clue who I married last night, or when Natalie, ever efficient and super organized, arrived to save my ass. Maybe I'm still drunk. Note to self, exhibit a bit more decorum with employees in the future. Need to brush my teeth, I say, and scramble out of bed. Scramble may be an exaggeration. More like drag my sorry hungover ass out of bed. Oh, right. Naked ass, too. I really need to work on decorum, stat. But nature calls. In the bathroom, I take an epic piss that lasts so long I might need to call Guinness and enter it in longest whizzes ever. While I'm at it, I'd like to campaign to change the phrase take a piss to leave a piss, because no one actually takes pee. I flush, wash my hands, and brush the morning after stink breath from my mouth. Better. I'm semi-human now. Nah, that's too generous. More like one-quarter human. I run the faucet, splash cold water on my face and into my eyes, and stare in the mirror. Then at my ring. Then back in the mirror. What the fuck did you do last night, Hammer? I mutter. Natalie's eyes flash back at me in the reflection. I spin around and wince, groaning as the drilling in my head resumes. She holds a cup of coffee in one hand and points to the marble counter with the other. There's aspirin. I set some out for you when I got up and had mine. Looks like you need it. I grab the two white pills, toss them on my tongue, and send them down the hatch on a mercy mission to take away the pain. She thrusts the coffee at me. Since you're a coffee whore, she says with a knowing little wink. I take it and thank her. She is part angel, after all. I drink some of the life-sustaining substance, and its restorative powers begin to kick in. Maybe I'm closing in on halfway human now. You okay? Her voice is gentle, caring. I didn't feel so hot when I woke up either, but I'm managing better now. I shrug, trying to play it cool, which is not helped by the fact that I'm swinging free this morning. She doesn't seem fazed by my lack of pants, though. Must really give this woman a raise. She's unflappable. She's gone above and beyond the call of duty. Yeah, sure. And sorry about all this. I gesture to my crotch, which is heading into morning wood territory. She shoots me a tiny grin. Jesus Christ. Could I possibly cross any more lines of inappropriate behavior with her? My eyes land on her left hand and the matching ring. My heart stops pumping. My breath stutters. The floor falls out. I squeeze my eyes shut. No way. No way. No way. This is just a dream, a very vivid dream. I haven't actually crossed that line. But when I open my eyes, she's here, I'm here, and so are the rings. My heart gallops away from my chest and steals my sanity with it. I point. Gawk. Try to speak. What the? She parks her hand on her hips. What? Is there a tiger in the tub? Huh? Are you missing a tooth? My hand goes to my mouth. No, please, God, no. I have nightmares about that. I love my teeth. Years of braces set them straight, and now they're a fantastic set of gleaming choppers. Running my fingers over them, I breathe a sigh of relief. Whew. They're all good. Teeth are fine. Or is this the thing freaking you out? She holds up her hand, brandishing the matching band once more. You married me last night, Ding Dong. She rolls her eyes. They're a bit red, like she didn't get much more sleep than I did. I can't believe you don't remember. No, I say coolly, lying my fucking ass off. I remember everything. It's all crystal clear. She cocks her head, studying me. Is it? I drag a hand along the back of my neck, determined to get a handle on the big fat blank inside my mind. Yeah, it's in technicolor up here, I say, tapping my head. That's great, then. You won't be surprised when the cops show up shortly to take a statement about how you stripped to your birthday suit, jumped into the Bellagio fountains, and shouted, "Join me, Frisky Mittens!" Ding, ding, ding. That's it. With those words, bits and pieces of last night's surface. I remember a sideburn, a roller coaster, her frisky hands, a towering drink, a crazy proposal, and then my head spins. I sway, grabbing the sink. More comes into focus. The fucking and the kissing and the talking and then the brilliant idea, like we'd never had a better one in the world, to get married. And so we did. Because we were drunk in Vegas. Holy shit. I kissed my assistant. I banged my assistant. I married my assistant. I broke my one big fat rule. Because I don't, as in never fucking ever, mix business and pleasure. But by all accounts, last night I stomped on that rule in spectacular fashion. Oh, and apparently there's a viral video circulating of you climbing up the Vegas sign, she adds. Like a tree monkey. She's fucking with me, but rather than let on that I'm reeling, I adopt my best playful smile. I'm agile, but I'm not that agile, sweetheart. I'd need suction cups on my hands to pull that off. In an effort to regain some memory cred with her, I rattle off, maybe if you'd told me I climbed a roller coaster, I'd believe you. Or a pinball machine. I just can't fathom that those fiestas of fucking led to a proposal, and I can't stop staring at my finger either. Like the longer I look, the greater the chance it'll disappear. But it's not conducting a vanishing act, even though the details of the wedding itself are just a blur, like a streak of neon across the night. I can recall a guy in a tight gold leisure suit, some Elvis tunes, laughing like crazy with Natalie. Then a speedy, I do. Next, a ride in a limo, toasting, sticking our heads out the window, the night air blasting our faces and cooling us off from the heat of all that screwing. A memory of the sounds she made when she came blasts through my brain, like a chorus of her pleasure, stirring my cock to full salute. Why, oh why, did the sex with her have to be so ridiculously sublime? She taps her wrist. Our flight leaves in 2 hours, Sleeping Beauty. I did a little research before you got out of bed, and it looks like there's just enough time for you to shower and for us to get an annulment, grab a car to the airport, and make our departure. I checked us into our flight already, and we can just go to TSA pre-screen since we're first class, she says, brushing one palm against the other. My mind spins with whiplash. We got married last night, and Natalie has already arranged the exodus from that bad decision. How does she do this? She yawns, the only other evidence that last night took a toll on her, too, but then she returns to normal in a heartbeat. Damn, she has impressive hangover recovery skills. You found someone already? I shouldn't be surprised. This is what she does. She's impeccably organized and a master planner. Still, this is a new level of efficiency even for her. I did. We'll be unmarried before you know it, she says, then makes a shooing gesture. Move it along. Did you book the annulment before we even tied the knot? I say, trying to make a joke. Admit it. You brought me here planning to get me down the aisle and have your wicked way with me. You tricked me, didn't you? But judging from the furrow of her brows, I've failed miserably in the humor department. Tricked you? Yeah, so you could have me all night long. She sighs heavily. That would imply I'd intended to marry you last night. Wait, Whose idea was it, then? She stares at me like the words coming out of my mouth are foreign. Maybe they are. When she speaks, her tone is laced with frustration. Both. We got married.